Tina, I'll always love you. Welcome, everyone, to Xena and Uber's podcast, a.k.a. X and U. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 137. This podcast show is for all the Xena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So, hello. Welcome back, everyone, to X and U. I hope everyone is doing well, ready, and all set for the Christmas that we are going to have this weekend. Me, myself, and I have picked up my last gift, and I'm to the point where back in November I was ready to say, done with it, but we grin and bear it. I know that at this time my thoughts will be with my mom, my dad, and my brother who are back home, and that I won't be able to share another Christmas with them, and I hope that all of you who do get the opportunity to spend it with your family, do so while you can, because you'll get to a point where you won't have them anymore and be able to do that. So go ahead and enjoy that. So we've got a lot for the show this week, so we're going to get right into it. And of course, at this time, we do the book recommendations. Now, I know that I've already reviewed or recommended these books. No, I actually recommended the books earlier, but I haven't reviewed them. I'm going to actually review them on this week's show because I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed both of them. Now, I took these two books with me on the plane in my downtime while I was traveling across the United States and then on my flight back. And I finished them up here when I got home. And I can honestly say they were good. They really, really were good. The two books that I am going to be reviewing in this week's show are from, of course, Allie Valley, the fourth in her series on the Kane Casey series, and that is Devil Be Damned, and Nevermore by Nell Stark and Trinity Tam. Now, in the Nevermore by Nell Stark and Trinity Tam, this is the sequel to Ever After, and we have Valentine Darrow and Alex Newland. And Valentine Darrow, on the eve of her asking Alexa to become her fiancé, is attacked and turned into a vampire. And her partner, Alexa Newland, rather than just walk away and say no, she couldn't deal with it, winds up becoming a werewolf to help out her partner, and who is essentially her soulmate, so to speak. Well, in the sequel to this, Ever After, which is Nevermore, we're caught up into this civil war between the wereshifters and the vampires. And they create, Nell and Trinity create these characters that now are starting to develop. You get more of an understanding of the underlying communities between the werewolves, the weres, and the vampires, who Alexa has to trust and who Valentine has to trust. And it becomes an issue of learning more of the history of the different cultures and who Valentine ultimately becomes and how Alexa stands by her. So I would highly recommend you going out and buying this one and reading it. It's called Nevermore by Nell Stark and Trinity Tam. Now, over at Allie Valley's on her Kane Casey series, this is the fourth book by Allie Valley in the Kane Casey series, and I can say that once again that I've read all of her books and I thoroughly enjoyed all of these in the series, in the four series, so to speak. And she does an excellent job in keeping you interested in what's going on in the characters and what's happening with, what's happening with the continuing saga. In this book, we have that Kane and Emma are expecting their next child, and they're still trying to catch the characters, Juan and the renegade agent, and hunt them down. And we find out that they've changed their appearance due to Juan's mother. And she's trying to battle now into the ground that Kane Casey has developed in her network. We also have another character being introduced, a Colombian, Hector, that Kane turned to for a question, and he's come back in her face when he said he wouldn't. And he's trying to establish himself. And we have a, not a love interest, but we have a interest of sorts that is who's attracted to Kane and shows that attractiveness, even though she supposedly is straight. And Emma is not quite happy, obviously, with that. And this is the daughter of Hector who is trying to muscle in on the territory. So you have all these little stories within the major story. And she develops, once again, Ali Valley develops the line. And you also have Remy and Dallas, the characters from the books prior, who are now establishing a really strong foothold in their relationship. And they've actually turned around and had to come through and persevere through a really hard part of Dallas's life. Not only the revelation, but also the return of a nightmare, a living nightmare for Dallas and her sister. And they've survived that and hopefully put it to rest. So once again, I suggest you go out, get the books, thoroughly enjoy them. If you haven't read any of Ali Valley's, go ahead and read them from the beginning, go all the way through. And if you have read any of, and I apologize because I didn't tell you the title is Devil Be Damned. I'm sorry, and I apologize for that. But it's Devil Be Damned by Ali Valley. But you have to get all four books. Start from the beginning if you haven't. If you have, you'll know that I'm saying it's well worth it. And for Nevermore by Nell Stark and Trinity Tam. So that's the book review. And in this week's movie review over at Movies for Lesbians, we have In Passing is the name of the title. It's called In Passing. And we have a short YouTube synopsis video of it, trailer of it. And you can go over to Amazon.com and purchase it. I'll have a link on my show notes as usual. And in the synopsis, it says two women, Vanessa, Veronica Mittenweiss, and Julia, Lisa Roth, meet through a theater work and fall in love. Set in New York City, this movie beautifully depicts the ups and downs of their relationship. A beautiful love story, beautifully acted. In this case, at least one of the leads is a lesbian. And in a review on the Movies for Lesbian site, it says, real, believable acting, great love scenes, good chemistry between the leads, lots of tenderness that comes across as genuine. Julia, acted by the absolute stunning Lisa Roth, comes across as a strong, intelligent woman who anybody would be proud to be with. Vanessa is more flighty, not really sure of what she wants, unfortunately unsettled. Does she get her act together or not? In Passing is definitely one to watch. So I have a link on my show notes for that.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
And in the World Wide Web, we actually have quite a few things going on. We're just going to start off at ReneeO'Connor.net. In the latest news over there, she's posted on the 16th. It's a tribute to the last year of the Rock video channel. It is up on Rock Pictures' website. Check it out, and she has a link on her show notes to take you there. Over at AUSXIP, Mary D's blog, she talks about a few things that are going on every single day in the World Wide Web, in the Xenoverse, in Spartacusverse, and all the other verses that we have out there. And she does have a link over to a new site that she's talking about, and it's about a friend of hers that started it. Then we have over at the official Lucy Lawless fan club site that Sharon's posted a little snippet, and also Lucy's actually sent a blog. On the 17th of December, a new message from Lucy with an apology and request for fans. And in Lucy's blog on the 17th, it says, sorry guys, my bad. Someone asked me yesterday if I was working with a certain writer and I let some cat out of a bag. If you can delete any retweets, that'd be grand. Sorry to everyone involved. I should know better. I'm usually pretty discreet about this stuff, but I got confused about what was publicly known. My apologies for the inconvenience, Lucy. So, if everybody can respect that wish, please not try and Google it or search for it, it'd be grand. And then, the site that we talked about over at AUSXIP, which I will have a link on my show notes, is called Tomboys Tees. And it's featuring t-shirts for the tomboy. And basically, it's T-shirts that you have, you know, music, pop culture, sporty, pride, nerdy, artsy, all different kinds of things. And it has a Facebook feed and all that, and you can sign up for an email. So I'll have a link on my show notes. Check it on out. Become a member, yada, yada. You know what to do.
You snapped, haven't you?
Okay, this week's we're going to do the funny quotes. We're going to do a few one-liners. So we'll start out with what life little moments of destruction can mean. Number one, the meek shall inherit the earth after we're done with it. Number two, just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Number three, money can't buy happiness, but it can certainly rent it for a couple of hours. And number four, lead me not into temptation. I can find it myself. So, now that I've done going making you crazy, we're going to continue on with the show. See what I mean? Okay, wanted to remind you that the song snippet you hear in this week's show is D-Ream, Things Can Only Get Better. Enjoy the CD, go out and get it. And just a quick update of what's going on this side of the world. As everyone knows now that it's summertime over here, and now that I'm not running while I'm healing my foot, I have to get started on that massively long honey-do list. So we started this weekend, and it meant 3.5 hours to 4 hours of taking a steel wire brush and scraping the trailer of all the rust because it was sitting out in the rain, and then applying a coat of paint. And I found rust in places that I didn't think could possibly be getting rust, but we're not going to talk about that. I digress. And then plucked that coat of paint, where half of it, I don't know how that managed, but anyway, we're going to leave that one alone too. And then Monday after work, I could barely move my arms, but I came home and I don't know what happened. I just became manic. And it was cutting the lawn and going out and raking all the mulch down and then cutting all the trees and palms down that we had and start cutting that. And then applying another coat of paint to the trailer. And by the time my wife got home, she goes, "Oh, wow, and this looks great. You know, this is awesome. But just curious, why is there a strip of grass out in the front?" And I'm like, "What do you mean a strip of grass? I cut all the grass up. The only thing left, you know, maybe there's a little bit that came out of the lawnmower as I was trailing along, but that's about it." "No, there's a strip of grass." So I go out front, and yes, sure enough, there is a 1-foot-wide strip of grass that I've missed, and it just happens to be right at the front of the house. We're talking right at the gutter side by the street. This about 6-inch tall strip of grass. And I kind of scratched my head going, "Huh, how did I miss that?" And what had happened was I wanted to put the lawnmower after I completely done to that side, really, really cut the edge very close there, and I just completely forgot about it. Just walked away, la la la, in my own little world. So of course I had to go out there and cut the grass, which I thought it looked, you know, just making a fashion statement, like, you know, the topiaries that they use at Disney where they cut the trees, the bushes into a certain, but, you know, Julie was like, "No, not going to have it. Cut it." So, oh well, it's a cut. All right, let's get into the show. Come and get. And we continue on with Ab Initio by Cruz, part 15. Mark's first trimester of pregnancy was miserable. She was having an extremely difficult time dealing with the fatigue associated with pregnancy, which started almost immediately after they found out they were pregnant. Rain would leave the room to get a drink, and would return to find Lark sound asleep, sitting up. Lark's publicity and appearances and trips were temporarily canceled, as she was barely able to stay awake. They didn't want to take a chance of someone figuring out their ruse, and reported to the tablet before they had a chance to inform their families. The morning sickness was just as bad. When Rain was home, she tried to be as loving and caring as possible, and it worried her to see Lark so sick. Of course, if you had asked Lark, she would say it was because she was overreacting from reading her numerous pregnancy and baby books that she had purchased. Lark knew she had to have purchased the entire pregnancy and child care section of Barnes & Noble's bookstore from the looks of her home office. She thought it was adorable, the way Rain was throwing herself into the research for her pregnancy and for the baby. But she was driving her nuts by worrying about every little thing. No matter how much she tried to convince Rain that the bouts of morning sickness were normal, Rain was adamant that they double-checked with the doctor. They did, and just as Lark had told her, the doctor said it was normal. She did indicate to ease the morning sickness she could eat many small meals during the day. She explained that Lark's body requires all the nutrients to sustain her and for the development of the fetus, and that's why she feels so hungry when she wakes up, making her feel very nauseous. Rain advised Marcia to prepare small, healthy meals for Lark to eat throughout the day, despite Lark's pleas for junk food. She also knew she could seek some here and there when Rain was gone, and hope Marcia wouldn't squeal like a pig each time Rain came home. So far, so good. When Rain was home, she made sure Lark had plenty of fruits and crackers next to the bed, so Lark could snack during the night. Rain had thought about pretending like she was asleep so she wouldn't have to make a trip to the kitchen for something more substantial every hour, something her buddy Mary advised her to do when she called for some advice. She didn't take it. Instead, she decided that she wanted to share as many of the same pregnancy experiences as Lark. She wondered how Lark got by when she was gone for quite frequently on her trips. She imagined Lark had the house staff bringing in a small refrigerator that they kept sodas in by the pool and stocked it full of food, sitting it next to the bed. She knew how sneaky Lark could be. I wouldn't have put it past her to come up with that kind of scheme. She could have done without the nausea part she shared with Lark. No, it wasn't sympathy nausea. It was from watching Lark eat some seriously disgusting food she had cravings for. Tuna on vanilla ice cream was hideously disgusting for her. And yes, Lark devoured it. It wasn't a pretty sight, and Rain wondered if she'd ever be able to eat vanilla ice cream after that sight. She was thankful it wasn't mint chocolate chip, her favorite. Rain constantly had to travel for work, and made a point of flying home as much as possible to be with Lark, even if it meant coming home only for a few hours. Her frequent flyer miles were adding up, that's for sure. Rain and Tom had taken on a cat-and-mouse game with a criminal they were trying to nail for his computer crimes, but the little pocket-protecting-wearing computer geek was somehow able to get away from them just when they thought that they had caught their man. Problem was, he had many allies to help him, which made him very elusive. As much as she wanted to be switched to a different team, she also wanted to nail this bastard, who amongst many of his crimes, had sexually exploited children. She thought of how one of those children could be her own, and it drove her to see this one out. She explained the situation to Lark, and she was full of agreement that Rain stay with her assignment, and nail the sick bastard for what he had done to so many children. The crimes she shared with Lark that he committed were terrible, but she didn't tell her everything he had done to them. She had seen many horrific crimes through her work that didn't faze her, but what this man had done sickened her no end, and she wanted to get him in the worst way. She felt guilty that she had spent so much time away from Lark and the baby, so she instructed Marcia to place a white rose on their Aphrodite statue every morning for Lark. Her mother had always told her that in trying times, a couple should place a white flower, which is a representation of their love and purity of intention, in a very special place in their home, to remind them that love always has the final word. Their special place was a statue of Aphrodite. It represented Rain's love and intention to share her life into eternity with Lark. Lark's response to finding Rain's note and rose was an emotional one, as you can imagine. She broke down and cried for hours. Of course, her hormones were raging, and she wasn't able to control the tears, but it was so romantic, loving, and special that Lark couldn't react any other way. Lark watched Rain pace back and forth beside the table she lay upon, and smiled at her lover's nervousness. She wondered what was going through Rain's head, as she scratched her chin with one hand, deep in concentration, looking down at the floor, and held the other hand on her hip, pacing back and forth, completely oblivious to everything around her. "Rain," Lark drawled, trying to get her attention. "Rain!" she quickly retorted as Rain's head shot up, looking at her. "Hmm?" she asked questioningly. "Sorry." She shyly grinned and moved closer to Lark. "Are you okay?" she asked, worriedly, slipping her hand into Lark's and gently pushing a stray blonde of hair off her forehead as she lovingly looked down at her. "I'm fine. It's you I'm worried about," Lark replied, smiling and rocked her hand within Rain's back and forth. "Why? I'm fine," Rain asked, shrugging her shoulders nonchalantly. "Because you're pacing back and forth nervously, you're about to rub the skin off your chin, and you just agreed to take me on an all-day shopping spree," Lark replied and chuckled when Rain's eyes widened, surprised at her last comment.
"I did?"
she asked, astonished that she would agree to such a thing, and smiled bashfully when she saw Lark was unable to contain her laughter, realizing she had been duped.
"Very funny."
She snickered, embarrassed, and looked around the room before returning her attention to Lark. "I had to do something to see that sexy smile of yours, and figured that was the best way to snap you back into reality," Lark smiled, slipping a palm up on Rain's cheek
and lightly stroked her tan skin with a thumb. She moved a hand to the back of Rain's neck and pulled her down for a kiss. She broke the kiss, staring deeply into blues that were only inches from her, and whispered, "Stop worrying. The baby will be fine." Rain laughed and was surprised that Lark knew what she was thinking.
How'd you know?
Rain asked, smiling. "I know you all too well, my dear," Lark confidently and teasingly replied with a wink. "Besides, when you're worried, you scrunch up the skin between your sexy eyebrows." Lark revealed with a chuckle and lightly smoothed out said skin with her thumb.
"You caught me,"
Rain laughingly admitted and kissed Lark. "Isn't that right, Doctor?" Lark asked with a smile as she heard the doctor enter the room, referring her to a confidence that the baby was fine. "Of course it is, but let's take a look anyway." She smiled confidently and sat on a stool next to Lark as the technician began to ultrasound test. Rain intently stared at the screen, trying to figure out what the camera was showing as Lark clutched Rain's hand tightly and did the same. Her heart pounded nervously, as the scan would determine whether the baby would have any congenital malformations. They were desperately worried about that, as any parent would be. It would also tell them if there were multiple pregnancies, and to verify dates and the growth of the baby. It would also give them a clearer picture of the baby, unlike the first ultrasound that only showed the blob on the screen. They were at the 18th week of pregnancy, and had wanted to tell the family at the end of the first trimester, but couldn't manage to get everyone's conflicting schedules to merge together. They decided to tell the family on the only possible date that they could all be together, June 16th, Rain's father's birthday. What a birthday present he was going to get. The pair anxiously peered at the screen, along with the doctor and technician. Rain felt her eyes instantly water when she caught sight of the baby.
"There's the baby,"
she excitedly replied, with a proud smile, pointing at the screen, and looked at Lark, whose own tears of joy streaked her face. Her heart pounded uncontrollably at the sight of their baby.
"Yep, there's your little bundle of joy, tucked safely inside of Mommy."
Dr. Garzin smiled, looking at the pair and back to the screen.
"Well, I can't believe how clear the picture is of our baby,"
Lark tearfully replied, gazing at the screen in astonishment. Rain gently squeezed Lark's hand and leaned down, kissing her.
"Our baby is beautiful,"
she lovingly whispered, and watched Lark smile grow in intensity. She stood back up and looked at the technician.
"Could I get some pictures of the baby?"
"Absolutely." She smiled and moved the sound head to a different location over Lark's abdomen. Lark smiled adoringly as she watched Rain's enthusiasm and excitement, who intently watched her child within her move about on the screen. She had never seen so much joy in Rain's eyes as she did at that moment. Her heart fluttered from the happiness and love she saw in her lover's blue eyes when she looked back at her. Their gaze met and locked on one another. Their eyes said everything they felt and meant to each other. Their gaze was interrupted when they heard the technician reply,
"Doctor,"
in a low tone, alerting her to what was on the screen.
"What? What is it? What's wrong?"
Lark worriedly asked, looking at the doctor whose gaze was fixed on the screen.
"Is there something wrong with our baby?"
Rain anxiously asked, and felt Lark's hand clench hers in fears. She broke out in a fiery sweat and felt a heartbeat faster.
"No, actually your baby is perfectly fine. She was pointing out the sex of the baby. Would you like to know it?"
she asked, smiling at the relieved pair.
No, right?"
Rain answered, expelling the subconscious breath she held, and looked for Lark for agreement.
"We would like to be surprised."
Lark grinned and focused on the baby. She chuckled when she saw Rain squint for a better look. She knew what she was thinking. Just how can they tell anyway? It looks too confusing. Lark thought, looking at the screen, and remembered that all of Holly's ultrasound pictures looked unidentifiable. In fact, they were wrong with Matthew, as he was supposed to be a girl. She snapped out of her thoughts when she heard Rain's voice.
"So, our baby is fine, Doctor?"
she asked with trepidation, trying to reconfirm her previous comment that the baby was perfect. She wasn't sure how she would handle the news if she said there was something wrong with the baby.
"Yes, there is nothing present that either of us can see that would indicate anything other than a perfectly healthy baby. The baby is of normal length and position for this time of the pregnancy. Everything looks great,"
she confidently replied with a reassuring smile.
"That's great! Wonderful! Awesome!"
Rain happily stammered,
and felt the butterflies in her stomach stop their dive-bombing activities. She was so nervous she felt sick to her stomach, and was relieved to hear the wonderful news. Not to mention, Lark released the death grip on her hand. She wondered how long it would take for the blood to come back to her hand, if it would at all.
"Oh, that is such great news, Doctor,"
Lark tearfully replied, and couldn't control her emotions, breaking down and crying harder.
"Oh, baby,"
Rain softly replied, and pulled Lark into her arms. She held her emotional lover tightly and comfortingly rubbed her back. She was unable to keep her tears in check as they slipped down her cheeks. She nervously glanced over at the doctor and technician, feeling very subconscious about their displaying her emotions in front of them. She had a hard time showing her emotions in front of Lark, much less in front of strangers. She chuckled when she saw that they were wiping their own tears.
"I'm sorry. I'm just so happy,"
Lark tearfully apologized as she pulled back from Rain, staring at her. "There's no need to apologize, honey. You're happy. I'm happy. Show it."
"I am."
Rain laughed, her embarrassment of crying in front of strangers completely vanishing. She lovingly smiled and gently wiped Lark's tears away.
"I love you so much, sweets,"
she whispered, closing her eyes and delicately kissing the love of her life. She felt Lark gasp and break the kiss, tightly wrapping arms around Rain's neck.
"I love and adore you, Rain,"
she whispered in her ear and put a huge smile on Rain's face. She loved to hear Lark tell her that. After a brief moment, they broke the hug and watched as the technician cleaned Lark's stomach off. The doctor comfortingly placed her hand on Lark's shoulder and smiled. "We'll do another ultrasound 3 weeks before you're due to check the positioning of the baby before delivery. Okay? Enjoy your second trimester. It's a little easier now." She replied with a wink and patted Lark's shoulder before walking towards the door.
"Thank you, doctor."
Rain smiled and watched as she waved back with a smile, exiting the room.
"Here are a bunch of your pictures for your baby. You can go ahead and get dressed now. You're all set."
The technician cheerily informed them, handing the pictures to Rain, who eagerly checked them over.
"Thanks,"
Rain replied with a grateful smile as the technician exited the room.
"Here, let me help you,"
Rain lovingly offered, eagerly assisting Lark up from her supine position.
"You're so sweet,"
Lark answered, smiling, and fixed her bust hair as Rain held up her shirt for her. Lark pulled the hospital gown off and handed it to Rain, who put it on the bed. Lark looked down.
"Damn, my breasts are huge,"
she exclaimed with a chuckle, and looked up at Rain, who had a mischievous grin on her face.
"I know. I love 'em,"
she replied, unable to hide her enjoyment and wiggling her eyebrows.
"No funny ideas. Those are for the baby,"
Lark teasingly warned, pointing at Rain to emphasize the point as she slipped on her shirt.
"I know. But it doesn't hurt anything if I thoroughly enjoy you, does it?"
She grinned wickedly.
"You are so bad."
Lark grinned, puckering lips with a snicker, and squeezed Rain's cheeks together, pulling her closer for a kiss. She broke the kiss and released Rain's cheeks.
"Take your princess and baby home, woman."
"As you wish, my sweet and precious baby."
Rain grinned and lovingly rubbed Lark's tummy. Rain offered her hand to Lark as assistance to get off the table.
"Ooh, chivalry is not dead,"
Lark teased with a laugh.
"Not with me around, it's not."
Rain cockily grinned and grabbed Lark's pocketbook and hand exited the room. The women arrived home to find Jace's car in the driveway.
"Rain, we should talk to him before everyone gets here,"
Lark reminded her, thinking he might feel uncomfortable finding out she's pregnant at the same time the family does. They were happy they had good news to announce later that evening, as it would have been a long and painful evening if they had received bad news from the doctor regarding the baby.
"Yeah, I plan to do so,"
Rain answered and held the door open for Lark, who exited the car. She slipped her arm around Lark's waist as the pair headed towards the front door. They entered the house to find Jace exiting the kitchen with drinks and chips.
"Hey, ladies."
He grinned and sat at the dining room table.
"Feel free to make yourself at home,"
Rain sarcastically replied, closing the door behind her.
"Oh, Rain, you're going to embarrass him,"
Lark snickered and lightly sat for Rain's forearm and chuckled.
"Do you want to talk to him by yourself or with me?"
Lark whispered, turning it back to Jace and faced Rain.
What do you think?"
she asked, unsure, glancing over Lark's head toward her brother, who sat devouring the chips, oblivious to what they were discussing, then turned a gaze back to Lark.
"I think you should talk to him first. He may feel uncomfortable in front of me,"
Lark advised and lightly rubbed a finger over Rain's chest. Okay, I'll talk to him, and if he has any questions, then I'll give you a shout. She answered nervously, hoping she could talk everything out with him without bumbling it. She wasn't very good with heart-to-heart chats. That was Lark's job, but she knew she had to do it, seeing it was her brother.
Sounds good to me.
Lark answered and stopped Rain, who attempted to pass her by.
Try not to take so long. I'm very horny, and I want you so bad.
Lark seductively whispered in Rain's ear, who jumped astonished by Lark's flirtatiousness and looked at her. Rain stammered, looking at the wanton look Lark had on her face.
Hurry, my love.
She sensually whispered and headed down the hall with a snicker, unheard by Rain. She loved to make her blush, and boy did she ever with what she just told her. Oh, sure, she meant it. She was hot for Rain in a serious way, but she loved to tease her and make her blush. Rain peeked her head down the hall, still in amazement of what Lark just had told her, and swallowed the lump in her throat. She suddenly felt a flush of warmth spread throughout her at the thought of making love to Lark. She wiped her brow and focused her attention on her brother. She casually strolled over and sat next to him. Hey, I need to talk to you about something. She nervously replied, trying to figure out what to say.
I know. I owe you some money. I promise. I'll get it to you as soon as I get paid.
He nervously offered and stuffed a handful of chips in his mouth, looking at his sister with a hopeful grin she would go easy on him. That's not what I wanted to talk to you about, but thanks for reminding me of the fact. Rain chuckled and saw the surprised look on her brother's face.
Damn, cats out of the bag.
He laughed, as did Rain.
So, what's up?
He asked, looking at his sister.
Well, we wanted you to know first. Lark is pregnant.
She blurted out and felt relieved that it was over. There was no easy way than just saying it flat out. He sat silently and leaned back in his chair, absorbing everything Rain just had said to him. He was trying to sort out his feelings as well. After all, he was the donor.
Wow, that's great. I'm excited for you both.
He answered, smiling and somewhat stunned. Rain placed her hand on his and looked at him.
Are you sure you're okay with all of this?
She wordily asked from the look on his face.
It's a little late to ask that now, isn't it, Rain?
He chuckled, as did Rain at the question.
I guess so, but you...
She attempted to explain, but it was interrupted by him.
I understand what you mean, Rain. It's really weird knowing that I donated my sperm to the baby, and that I would be the father in any other case. But I've tried to prepare myself for this since we did all of this, and I'm completely cool with everything. I'm glad I could help you both out.
He reassuringly smiled. I'm so glad to hear that. You're sure, right? I understand it has to be weird for you, little brother.
It is weird. I can't guarantee that I won't spoil the baby more than I already do with the boys, but I plan on being the best uncle the baby could ever have, and I promise you that if anything ever happens to you, that I will always be there to take care of Lark and the baby. You have my solemn word on that, Rain.
He wholeheartedly assured her, looking deeply into her eyes. I knew you would feel that way, and I appreciate that so much. As much as I always hated to admit it, I never wanted to be a softie to you. I think you're a great brother, and you've always been my favorite. She shyly replied, and sniffed back her tears as she squeezed his hand. She smiled when she saw his astonished look and hugged him.
Thanks,
she whispered and held him close.
I knew you loved me,
he jokingly replied with a huge smile. It meant so much to him to have heard that from Rain, as he absolutely adored his sister and had always wanted her to feel that way about him. He knew she loved him, but it was very special for him for her to admit it to him.
Of course I do, but if you tell Shay anything I told you, I'll deny everything.
She chuckled and broke the hug. He smiled and winked.
Your secret's safe with me, sis.
It better be, she teasingly demanded and looked behind her when she felt Lark's hand slip on her back of her neck. She smiled and looked up at Lark, sliding arm around Lark's waist.
Is everything all right?
She asked worriedly and twirled Rain's dark hair in her fingers.
Oh, Rain was just trying to get all mushy on me and had her set her straight.
He cockily teased with a chuckle, shoving a chip in his mouth. Rain laughed and shook her head in disbelief of her brother, and moved the chair back, gliding Lark down on her lap.
Lark's arm moved around Rain's neck and rested on her shoulder. Rain put her arm around Lark's waist with her opposite hand on her slightly expanded abdomen. She lovingly smiled at Lark, who kissed her forehead.
Jace, we wanted to ask you to be the baby's godfather. Will you be willing to accept?
Lark asked, as they looked at Jace for his answer.
Wow! I would love that! Thanks!
He exuberantly answered, and felt his eyes water and his own emotions were overwhelming him.
Great!
Rain smiled and pulled Lark closer to her.
You're okay with us telling the family everything about you being the donor, right?
Lark asked, hesitant he might have a problem with it.
Perfectly fine. I would have been upset if you both would have gone elsewhere for a donor. The baby should be a Morgan Donovan baby. If you want more children, you know where to find me.
He honestly answered with a proud smile.
I think I felt the baby move, Lark.
Rain excitedly exclaimed as Lark looked down at her hand.
I felt it too.
She enthusiastically answered and put her hand on her stomach.
There it is again.
She laughed and looked at Rain.
It's very subtle, but it's there. This is so awesome. My books say the baby begins to get more active about now.
Rain proudly informed everyone.
Can I feel the baby?
Jace asked, looking at Lark for approval.
Of course.
She smiled as he leaned over and placed his hand on her stomach.
I don't feel anything.
Move your hand here. Rain replied and guided his hand where she just had hers.
Feel it?
She asked, holding a hand on his.
No, nothing.
He disappointedly answered.
Hey, it's your Uncle Jace. Can you squirm around for me?
He asked in a soft tone.
Still nothing.
He answered and moved his hand, sitting back in the chair.
Let me see.
Rain replied and put a hand on Lark's tummy.
Don't you want to say hello to your Uncle Jace and move around for him, sweetie?
Rain asked in a sweet voice.
There's our baby.
She grinned proudly and felt the baby move again. Jace put his hand there and felt nothing.
I'm bummed. The baby doesn't like me.
He mockingly pouted, sitting back in his chair. Lark put a hand where Rain was and didn't feel anything either.
I don't feel the baby moving under my hand. Try it again, Rain.
Rain put her hand where Lark's was and felt the baby move again.
The baby is moving, honey.
Rain smiled and entwined her fingers with Lark's over the area.
I think the baby is responding to your touch.
Lark grinned and felt the baby move under their hands.
This is so incredible!
Lark excitedly smiled and kissed Rain.
It's wonderful, honey.
Rain whispered, deepening her kiss, her heart aflutter, feeling her child move for the first time. Lark broke the kiss and hugged Rain.
I'm still waiting for you to take me to bed and make love to me.
She whispered in Rain's ear, sending a flush of blood straight to her sex.
Isn't it time for your nap, honey?
Rain asked, looking up at Lark, holding her watch out for her to look with an arched brow, hoping she would play along with the ruse.
Oh, yes it is. Care to join me?
She asked with a sly grin. Sure, I'll lay down with you for a while before our guests get here. She lovingly smiled as they both stood up. We'll see you in a couple of hours, bro.
Sure thing. I'm going to go catch up on some of the basketball games I've missed, Lacey. Have a nice nap.
He smiled and rose from his chair, following the women down the hallway. He entered the sports room as the women entered their bedroom suite. No sooner did Rain get the door closed than she was attacked by Lark with kisses.
I'm so hot for you, Rain. I can barely stand it.
She replied, breathless, her hands roaming Rain's body and her kiss desperately seeking Rain's.
Oh, you're so sexy, baby.
Rain whispered and passionately kissed her, grasping Lark's firm backside.
Do you still find me sexy, now that my breasts are huge and my tummy's getting bigger?
She insecurely asked, looking at Rain for an answer.
You are beautiful, and there is nothing sexier than making love to a pregnant woman, especially when she's you.
Rain sexily replied and smiled. She lifted Lark up in her arms and kissed her deeply, carrying her to the bed.
I want you so much, Rain. I need to feel you touching me, kissing me, and loving me. I have this burning desire for you like I've never had before.
Lark breathlessly professed, staring into Rain's eyes as she gently lowered her to the bed.
That is a wonderful desire that I don't mind satisfying at all, baby, or at any time.
Rain seductively whispered, lowering herself onto Lark and passionately kissing her. She had heard that pregnant women have an insatiable sex drive
and planned to fully fill that desire she knew Lark would possess. She was going to relish it. Not that they didn't already have a very healthy sex drive. As always, she wanted more, and she couldn't get enough of it. This was her chance to have at it at any time and as much as she wanted to her heart's content. Man, I'm going to love this portion of the pregnancy, Rain inwardly thought, as her tongue traveled down Lark's curvaceous body, seeking to satisfy Lark's desire. Part 16. Rain finished resting after a supposed quick shower, which turned into another tryst with Lark. She couldn't keep her hands off of Rain. But then again, who could? Not that Rain minded, but their romp ecstasy had to be cut short, as their guests would be arriving soon. Rain mischievously grinned as she watched Lark finish dressing, knowing they would continue where they left off, once everyone was gone. I'm going to check with Maria and see that everything is set up, okay? Rain softly asked, as she nibbled on Lark's neck and wrapped her long arms around her. Lark smiled and loved the feeling of Rain holding her tightly in her arms, nibbling ever so softly on her neck. Always left her breathless and in a daze, temporarily suspended in ecstasy. That is until Rain relinquishes her hold.
Don't go,
Lark replied, desperate, and grabbed Rain's hand. Rain slightly smiled and turned back to her. I'm sorry, babe. We need to get going, she softly replied, and moved closer to Lark, resting a hand on Lark's hips.
I know,
Lark pouted, disappointed, and placed her hands on Rain's arms, looking up at her.
I just wanted you all to myself for a little while longer,
she softly admitted, and leaned her head against Rain's chest that drew her in for a warm embrace.
Oh, baby, you just had me all to yourself. A few times over, as a matter of fact.
Rain snickered and felt Lark clutch her tighter and giggle.
I promise, you have me all to yourself once again in a few hours.
Rain guaranteed with a warm smile and lightly kissed the top of Lark's head. She moved and looked into emerald green eyes that peered up at her.
Promise?
Lark asked, smiling hopeful.
Absolutely.
Rain smiled and kissed Lark. Get moving, little lady. Rain winked and patted Lark on the butt as she headed for the door. Lark giggled giddily and watched as her tall lover disappeared behind the closed door. She sighed, disappointed, and inhaled deeply.
The things your mother does to me,
she adoringly replied, expelling her air as she looked down at her slightly expanded stomach, lovingly rubbing it. She smiled and finished dressing before meeting Rain in the living room to greet their guests who had already begun to arrive. After everyone cheerily greeted each other, they sat down for dinner. Rain and Lark smiled, chuckling as they watched their families animatedly talk amongst themselves. They could no longer hide their secret as their excitement consumed them. Rain grinned at Lark and stood up with a glass of Jack Daniels and Coke.
Excuse me.
She smiled and watched as everyone focused their attention on her. Rain winked at Lark and reached for her hand. Lark grasped Rain's hand and rose as Rain guided her to a standing position, her heart aflutter at the impending announcement.
We have an announcement to make, but first, we would like to wish you a very happy birthday, Dad.
She smiled and held up her glass as a toast with everyone joining in on the cheer. The group quieted down and Rain began.
We have wonderful news to announce.
Rain smiled and put her arm around Lark, who did the same to her.
We're pregnant,
Rain announced and saw the stunned looks on everyone's faces.
Oh, wait. Lark's pregnant, not me.
Rain blushed and laughed as did Lark. It definitely would have been shocking news if Rain were pregnant.
That's fabulous news,
Rain's father excitedly replied and stood up eager to hug the women.
It's about time you got her pregnant,
Maria, Rain's mother sarcastically replied, making way around the table for her hug.
I'm finally going to be a grandpa,
Congressman Morgan excitedly exclaimed and jumped
out of his chair.
My little girl's going to have a baby,
Lark's mother, Julia, smiled and began to cry as she joined the group, hugging Lark.
It's a good thing you married her and made an honest woman of her, Rain.
Julia teasingly poked Rain in the stomach before hugging her.
Lark? An honest woman?
Rain sarcastically teased and felt Lark pinch her arm.
But of course she is.
She chuckled and rephrased her answer as she broke the hug with Julia. She knew better than to have that statement hanging out there without any rebuff on her part.
Ooh, the ramifications of their doing that were not good.
I thought that's where you were going to say, my love.
Lark laughed, looking at Rain, who winked at her. Everyone, including Holly, Shane and their boys, and Jace, finally hugged the happy couple. There wasn't a dry eye in the place as everyone took his or her seats.
Tell us, how far along are you?
Maria tearfully asked, then wiped her eyes, eagerly waiting for the answer.
I'm at 18 weeks now, and my due date is November 6th. We had an ultrasound earlier today, and the doctor told us our baby is perfect,
Lark proudly announced, and clutched Rain's larger hand within hers.
Well, how could it not be? It's a Donovan Morgan baby.
Rain gloatingly smiled and pulled out the ultrasound pictures to pass around.
It's a Donovan?
Marie asked, confused.
Yes?
Rain smiled.
Did you neglect to tell us something?
Holly teasing asked Shane, leaning next to him. Shane laughed and looked at his wife.
I'm not the only Donovan man in this family.
He smiled and looked up at Jace, who sat grinning proudly.
You knew?
She asked, surprised.
And didn't tell me?
I knew what their plans were, as I handled all the legal matters, but I didn't know they were pregnant.
He explained, looking at the happy parents-to-be, who proudly passed along the pictures of the baby, then looked back at his wife.
Why didn't you tell me?
She asked, hurt by being left out of the loop.
I was sworn to secrecy, and you know how persuasive my sister can be.
Shane snickered in a whisper and looked at Rain, who proudly smiled and began to explain, but was interrupted by Lark.
I wanted our child to possess both of the best worlds, and the only way for that to happen is for Donovan to help us out. Besides, I wanted our child to have those beautiful blue eyes I love to lose myself in every time I see them.
Lark lovingly smiled and stared at Rain, who smiled, blushing.
And for our baby to have those dark, distinctive Donovan features.
She explained, pushing Rain's raven hair off her shoulders, whose face was more of a crimson red now from blushing so much.
So we asked Jace to be the donor, and he happily accepted.
Lark appreciatively smiled and looked at him.
Oh, sweetheart, that's so wonderful!
Maria happily smiled and moved towards him, engulfing him in a hug.
That's wonderful, son.
His dad proudly smiled, looking at him.
Yeah, well, I couldn't resist passing along my fabulous genes.
He cockily smiled as everyone laughed, and Maria lovingly pinched his cheek.
You're incorrigible.
She chuckled and returned to her seat.
All of us are. It's a wonderful family trait.
Rain jokingly laughed, joined in by the group.
That's from your mother's side, not mine.
Ray replied, and received a playful pinch from his wife and laughed.
Oh, Raynor Donovan, you're worse than your children, you know it. You contributed to their smart-ass attitude just as much as me.
Maria chuckled, joined by the rest of the group.
Now, Jace, you're sure you can accept the fact of assuming the role of being the uncle rather than the father?
Congressman Morgan asked, turning to him. Lark was embarrassed and kicked her father under the table, who looked at her, seeing her consternated look. He winked and waved his hand at her that it would be all right and looked back at Jace. Lark leaned closer to Rain, who put her arm around Lark, leaning closer to her and hear what she was saying.
I'm so sorry and embarrassed. He is entirely too bold. I hope he doesn't make Jace feel bad.
Don't worry, babe. Jace can handle himself. Rain reassured her, lightly rubbing her shoulder with her hand.
You don't need to apologize either. If your dad had not asked, mine would have.
Besides, we're all family anyway. She smiled and winked as both looked at Jace.
Yes, I love my sister and Lark very much. I'd do anything to help them, and I will do it again if they ask me. I have no problem seeing the child as my niece or nephew. I would have been very disappointed if they would have gone outside of the family for a donor. I'm very proud that they asked me.
He confidently answered with a reassuring smile.
I'm glad to hear that, son. You're a good man.
The congressman appreciatively smiled and patted his hand.
So, honey, why didn't you tell us sooner?
Julie asked with a smile, looking at Adorno and Rain.
Well, we wanted to wait until we made it through the first trimester without any problems, and once we did that, it was difficult to get everyone's schedules to coincide,
she explained, smiling.
You look fabulous, Lark. I would haven't guessed you are pregnant. You're hardly showing,
Holly observed, surprised at how great Lark looked for being 4 months pregnant. Then again, it helps to be a Hollywood starlet.
Thanks.
Lark blushed and smiled appreciatively.
I tried to keep it hidden, as I didn't want the tabloids to report it before we had a chance to tell all of you.
We're so happy for you both, honey.
Julia smiled proudly and leaned her head on her husband's shoulder, grinning happily.
Can I feel the baby, Auntie?
Cole asked, standing next to Lark.
You can try, sweetheart, but sometimes the baby only moves for Auntie Rain.
Lark smiled, looking at Rain, then back at the precious little boy, and lovingly stroked his hair.
Let me give it a whirl.
He cockily grinned and gently put his small hand on her stomach. Lark chuckled and looked at Rain.
Are you sure he's not your son?
Referring to his confidence and sarcasm.
What can I say?
I taught him well.
Rain grinned cockily.
Yeah, seeing as how you have taught him so well, maybe he can come stay with you for a little while and you could teach him and his brother some manners. They've become very incorrigible.
Shane replied with a smile. Rain snickered and glanced over her shoulder at Brandon, who stood next to her with his arm resting on her shoulders.
Have you, my sweet nephew, been incorrigible?
She sarcastically asked.
Who, me?
Nah.
You must be referring to my brother,
not me. I'm an angel.
He cockily grinned and patted her shoulder. Rain narrowed her eyes and teasingly growled.
Okay.
Yeah, might have been a little bad. But Cole was definitely worse than me.
He confessed and accused, knowing that he couldn't pull the wool over Rain's eyes.
Hey, no way, butthead. You give me trouble all the time.
Cole adamantly interjected.
Who are you calling butthead?
Brandon asked, taking offense to the comment and moved closer to his brother. Rain chuckled and stood up, grabbing both boys who wiggled and giggled.
I'm calling you both buttheads, and I think it's time for you two to chill out and confess your sins to me.
She teasingly laughed, as everyone did too.
No, please, don't handcuff us and tickle us again,
Brandon pleaded desperately.
Hey!
Lark objected and pulled Rain down, who struggled to hold the wiggle worms.
Those handcuffs are only for me,
she adamantly reminded Rain, whispering in her ear. Rain chuckled and grinned. The ones I use are special ones that I save only for you. Rain answered, smiling, and wiggled her eyebrows seductively as she headed down the hall with the boys.
This time, I'm hooking you up to my lie detector machine and see what other dastardly deeds you both not yet confessed to.
She replied and laughed, disappearing down the hall, with boys laughing and protesting vehemently.
Go easy on him, Rain.
Shane laughed.
She really doesn't have a lie detector machine here, does she?
Holly worriedly asked. Lark laughed and waved her off.
No.
Then wondered if Rain just might have one. She made a mental note to check out some of her handy hidden gadgets she had in her office later, just in case.
That could be a very interesting sexual game. She did have one.
Lark chuckled, intrigued by the prospects of the game. That is, as long as she was the one administering the test. Her sexual escapade revelry of Rain was interrupted when her father spoke.
Have you found out what the sex of the baby is yet?
Her father asked, smiling, looked back down the picture he had of the baby that was being passed around.
We decided to keep it a secret,
Lark answered, smiling.
Lark, those pictures are so clear of the baby. Oh, look, Ray, I think the baby has Lark's nose,
she observed and showed her husband, who looked at the picture, then looked at Lark.
Honey, turn it to the side, let me see.
He asked, motioning to see Lark's profile.
Yep, the baby has your nose.
He smiled, confirming it, when Lark turned to the side, embarrassed.
Let me see,
Julie asked, reaching for the picture. She looked at it along with her husband and smiled.
We agree. It's your nose,
she proudly smiled.
Yeah, we thought the same thing when we checked them out earlier. I think the baby's going to be tall like Rain, and look baby's hands. They're so big, and the fingers are very long, just like Rain's.
She adoringly smiled. The grandparents all huddled together and looked at the picture.
I think you're right.
They all agreed, smiling proudly. Everyone quickly looked up when they heard singing down the hallway.
Happy birthday to you.
Brandon, Cole, and Rain sang as they entered the dining room with the boys struggling to carry the cake, as Rain helped to steady it. Everyone joined in on the singing as they put the cake before her blushing father. They could finish the song and watch that he's figured out his strategy of blowing out the candles.
Don't forget to make a wish, Grandpa.
Brandon reminded him, smiling as he stood next to him.
Damn, Dad. Is there any cake under that wall of fire from the candles?
Jace jokingly asked, and everyone snickered.
Watch it, boy. I'll cut you out of the cake loop.
He teasingly warned and glanced to Lark, then back to the cake.
And don't spit on it either, Dad.
Rain teased with a laugh.
All right, that's two of you out of the cake loop.
He smiled, giving his daughter a sideways glance.
Come on, the house is going to burn down.
Shane sarcastically added.
That's three out of the loop. Are you sure you want a sarcastic, incorrigible Donovan baby, Lark?
He asked, smiling. She giggled.
I wouldn't want any other child, Dad.
He winked, smiled at Lark again, blew out the candles, and everyone clapped.
Thank you for giving me such a wonderful birthday and present.
He smiled proudly, looking at Lark and Rain. We definitely got a wonderful present, Dad.
Rain smiled and patted on the back as she headed over to join Lark. After a few hours of family giving suggestions for the nursery, baby present's name, they all headed off. Rain and Lark breathed a sigh of relief once everyone had left. They were tired. Lark slipped her arm around Rain's waist, and Rain put her arm around Lark's shoulder, looking down at her.
"You look tired, babe," she replied, concerned.
"I'm exhausted, and I can't wait to climb into bed with you." Lark smiled and leaned her head against Rain's chest as they walked down the hall towards the bedroom.
"Well, let's get you to bed, then."
Rain smiled and opened the door to the bedroom. She led Lark into the room, and they began to undress for bed.
"I'll be right back,"
Lark replied and headed towards the bathroom. Rain kicked her shoes off and shorts before climbing in bed. She propped the pillows up and leaned back against them. She opened the nightstand drawer and pulled out a small box, placing it on her lap. She smiled knowingly from what the box contained within. She knew Lark would love it. She clicked on the TV and settled herself in bed, waiting for her lover to join her.
"Oh, cool! Charlie's Angels!"
Rain replied excitedly and began to watch the old show. Lark eventually climbed into bed next to her quiet lover. She noted the look on Rain's face and wondered what was wrong with her.
"Are you okay?"
she asked, cuddling closer to her. Rain looked at Lark in disbelief.
"Yes, but I'm totally bummed out by this show.
It used to be my favorite show as a kid, and now I watch it, and I realize that it sucks. I'm so upset." She replied and looked at Lark, who chuckled.
"It's because you grew up, honey. The show was way outdated now. Besides, the angels just aren't quite the super agents like you."
Lark smiled, leaning against her and settled her head on Rain's chest, resting her hand on her stomach.
"I guess so. But I loved that show. I can't believe it was all that cheesy and I didn't pick up on it."
Rain replied, disappointedly, and kissed the top of Lark's head.
"Are you okay, baby?"
she asked, concerned, realizing Lark had been in the bathroom for a long time.
Yeah. Let's just say the baby doesn't like spicy food."
Lark chuckled and cuddled closer to Rain, who laughed.
"Lark, I have something for you."
Rain excitedly stammered as Lark sat up next to her.
"I wanted to give this to you before, but decided to wait until this last ultrasound. I got this for you."
She smiled and held out the small box. Lark smiled and giggled, surprised by Rain's gift.
"That's so sweet, honey. Thank you. You didn't have to get me anything."
She smiled and lightly rubbed Rain's hand.
"I know, but I wanted to give you that, sweet."
Rain smiled, pointing to the small box, and watched as Lark opened it. Lark's face lit up and tears welled in her eyes when she saw the small charm. It was a bear with a diamond heart on it.
"It's beautiful, honey. I absolutely adore it."
Lark gushed happily, looking at the charm.
"Here, take it out. There's more to it, babe."
Rain informed her and helped her remove the charm from the box. Lark turned it over and read the inscription.
"Our first child, 2/14. I love you always, Rain." "Oh, honey, this is so beautiful. I love it so much, and I loved Valentine's Day as well."
Lark smiled excitedly and hugged Rain.
"Yeah, me too. What a wonderfully romantic day and night we had. We couldn't have planned a more perfect day for us to conceive our first child, my love."
Rain happily smiled, breaking the hug and looking at Lark.
"I know. I was disappointed that we couldn't conceive on Christmas Eve, but this was even more perfect, honey. And I love it, and you."
Lark giggled and kissed Rain.
"Here, put it on my necklace for me."
Lark requested and turned around for Rain to remove her necklace. Rain opened the clasp and helped her put the charm on her necklace. Lark turned around and touched the charm with her finger, adjusting it on her neck.
"How does it look?"
she asked, smiling. "Absolutely beautiful. Just like you."
Rain lovingly smiled and leaned closer to Lark for a kiss.
"Ready to pick up where we left off?"
she seductively whispered through her kiss.
"You read my mind,"
Lark answered, deepening the kiss as Rain gathered her into her arms and they slowly lay back on the bed.
"Oh, wait. You got me all flustered and I forgot that I have something for you as well. I guess we both know each other very well and had the same thoughts."
Lark grinned and leaned over. Reaching in the nightstand drawer on her side of the bed, she pulled out a long slender box and handed it to Rain. Rain lay on her side, propped up on her elbow, grinning as she opened the box. Rain pulled the silver bracelet out and read the inscription on the front.
February 14th, and turned it over to read the back. Our child ensures that our love will shine on earth for all of time. I love you, Lark. Rain adoringly smiled and looked at Lark.
It's gorgeous, babe. I love it. Thank you very much.
As she watched Lark put it on her right wrist.
I'm glad you like it, honey. It looks great on you.
Lark lovingly smiled and kissed the bracelet she had just put on her lover and looked up at her.
You are my life and everything to me. Do you really know just how much I love and adore you?
She asked, gently placing a palm on Rain's cheek as she smiled. Rain felt the catch in her heart and smiled.
Yes, I do. I know and I can feel how much by the way you look at me, Lark. I hope you know the same about the way I feel for you, honey.
Rain closed her eyes and gently kissed her.
I do, honey. I do.
Lark whispered, and deepened the kiss as Rain wrapped her within the loving confines of her strong, warm arms and began to make love to her. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 137 of XNU, and that is chapters 15 and 16 of Ab Initio by Cruz. I hope everyone is enjoying the storyline. We are heading towards the end of the year, as everyone knows. And I wanted to say first and foremost to everyone, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I hope everyone is safe and sound and you get everything that you always thought you'd never knew you'd get. So if you can figure that one out, you're a better person than I am. also, if you could possibly think about things that you would like to see in the new year for the show, send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. I want to think about maybe, if not changing the storylines around or how we progress and do stories, whether we do them in snippets or whether we do the whole block. And also about, you know, anything else you would like to see on the show, whether it be book reviews, movie reviews as we're doing, recipe suggestions, or reviews, maybe interviews with people, things like that. Send me an email. You know my email. It's xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, please take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.